Well, good morning. How are you today? Are you good? Why doesn't everyone stand to their feet for just a moment, please? I want to wake you up today is what I want to do. I was kind of falling asleep there with Mikey just strumming that guitar. Anyone else in that zone? I was just chilling out and enjoying that. It was really cool. Mikey, thank you very much for that. Good to see you today. Did you bring your picnic basket with you? To bring your picnic basket. We're going picnicking straight after church today. So we're going to do our best to get you out of here on time this morning. Cafe won't be open afterwards, so we're not hanging around and doing coffee here. We've got rib fillet steak. Everyone go, wow, 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 wow. I bet you wish you're in the room today if you're watching online church. We've got rib fillet steak. We've got sausages. We've got a team of people down there doing all the cooking right now. Some of our leaders, they've been down there all morning, barring the best spot. They've got our shade areas up and everything. They're all ready for you. So straight after church, head down to the Logan Hospital. Just go past the hospital and around near the railway line there, and the park's down the bottom. You can't miss it. I don't even know the name of the park. I just know where I'm going. What's it called, Brad? Riverdale Park at Meadowbrook. And that'll be great. Good deal. Well, why don't you stretch out like this? Thank you. Why don't you reach your hand into the pocket of the person next to you, grab their wallet. Right, take your seats if you would, please. Good to see you. Good to see you. We're talking about the truth today, is what we're talking about, continuing this theme that we've been on, and our title is The Truth About Your Truth. Jack Nicholson, in the movie A Few Good Men, said this famous line. What is it? You can't handle the truth. Today I want to ask you, can you handle it? Can you handle it? Can you handle the truth today? Anyone in the room thinks they can handle the truth? Come on, of course you can. You can handle it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can handle it. You can handle the truth. And so we're talking about the truth about your truth. John 18:37. Jesus said this about why he came into the world. He said, for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to, everyone say it, the truth. To bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. If you are of the truth today, and that means if you are a believer today, if you love God today, if you're a Christian today, if you're a God follower today, then you're of the truth. And Jesus says this of you, if you are of the truth, then you listen to his voice. In other words, you listen to his truth above every other truth that there is out there. How many people realize there's a lot of truths in our world? Little t. A lot of little t truths that are presented in our world that we sometimes make the mistake of allowing them to become big T truths, and they're never meant to be. John 8:31, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, or if you hold to my truth, you are really my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We need to make sure we're really clear on what it is that sets us free in life, and it's the truth. It's the truth that Jesus taught. It's his words. If we hold to them, then that will set us free. We looked at this truth last week, that the truth is something we discover. It's not something we decide. We don't decide what the truth is. We discover what the truth is in life, whether it's natural areas or whether it's spiritual areas. It works exactly the same. We're on a journey of discovery. And what you find is the older that you get, you keep discovering truth. It's like you've never discovered it all. There's always truth to discover. It's not something we're making up our own mind about. It's a process of discovery. You know, with the truths that Jesus spoke about, I want you to notice this. Jesus never spoke about your truth, my truth, our truth, or their truth. He only spoke about the truth. Not your truth, my truth, our truth, and their truth. And that's verbiage, that's terminology that's becoming very popular nowadays, whether it's in your workplace, whether it's on social media. People going, this is my truth, really, my truth. And people on TV, on reality shows that are so unreal, that tell us what their truth is. And it just simply means this is the way I've chosen to live and you can't question it. This is the thing about truth that other people host. You can't question the truth that they hold, that they host, that they live their life with. Jesus only talked about one truth, and that was the truth. You know, there's this trending concept, this trending idea that we can make truth whatever we want to make it. That we can make the truths of life to be whatever I want them to be, then that's what truth can be. And of course, what people are referring to is their opinion. Their opinion. Now, opinions are good. We all have them. And some have more than others and are free and willing to share them to everybody and anybody. Nothing wrong with having opinions. We're all entitled to our opinion. But how many of you know your opinion may not necessarily be the truth? Not necessarily the truth, it's just an opinion is what an opinion is. Don't confuse opinions with the truth. Don't confuse experience with the truth. An experience is something that's happened to you. It doesn't make it truth. It's a happening. And people make the mistake of making happenings in life or the journey of life their truth, my truth. Like you have some things go wrong, so all of a sudden I'm a loser. I'm a loser because I've had some failings in life. I've had some mishaps in life. I've had some misery in life. I've had some mess-ups in life. Anyone in the room had some mess-ups, some mishaps, some failings in life? You're not a loser because you have those things happen. Don't make that a truth about you. People often refer to their opinions, their feelings, and their truth, and they're all good, those things, but as their truth. But they're not actually truths. They are just things or emotions that we host. Do these names ring a bell with you at all? Tanya and Vito. Does that ring a bell with anyone in the room? I don't know whether anyone in the room has watched the show The Block on TV, which is coming to its pinnacle and conclusion. And in the show The Block, which is all about renovating houses and units and that kind of thing, right at the very start of the episode, there was a little cheating thing that took place where somebody took a photo in the control room, a photo of how things were going to pan out, what the plan was in terms of room presentations over the 3 months that they're all together doing their job. Someone took a photo. It's either a tradie or it's one of the contestants that took this photo. And when it all blew up, they were challenged. And Tanya and Vito were challenged because she was a part of it. And she blatantly, you can see her blatantly on TV trying to cover up and just saying, it's my truth. This is my truth. This is what I'm going to present about what took place. Well, apparently the truth is about to come out. The truth is going to be presented at the conclusion, either tonight or next week, I'm not sure. The truth is going to come out. There was a reporter who interviewed them this week, and he said, we've been hearing a lot on The Block about their truth, my truth, our truth, and whatnot. And he said, the one thing we all want to know is what is the truth. The truth. And I want to say to us as a church today, what we want to know as believers is we simply want to know what the truth is. That's what we want to know. We want to know what the truth is. And so I want to continue this conversation because often when people get caught up in this syndrome of my truth and the truth and our truth and their truth, what they're really speaking about is about themselves. And it's about the empowerment of self. Now, the empowerment of self is a good thing when it's healthy. But when it steps into unhealthy realms, it's very unhealthy, obviously. Jesus said this about self. He said we've got to lay down self, we've got to deny self and really die to self so that we can find ourselves in Him. He said that true life is found in Him, not in ourselves. Whereas humanly speaking, with humanism, it's all about your self-fulfillment, your self-promotion, your self-understanding, your self-determination, your ability to determine what you want to be and to identify as whatever you want to be. And so today in our modern world, our modern contemporary world, we have people that are self-identifying as all kinds of things. From a gender perspective, when I grew up, there was only two genders. Apparently, there's a whole lot more today, is what we are being told. And you can be fluid in gender. You can identify as this or that or somewhere in between or something way out here. And it's unquestionable because it's your truth. That's your truth. That's how you see things. That's how you understand things. And it's like somebody has taken away the goalpost of truth and let humanity and societies and cultures self-determine what they want to believe to be the truth. No matter how untrue it actually is, the people around you cannot challenge your truth. Like, we used to have a day and age where you could call someone out for a lie, but you can't do it now. You can't even call the untruth a lie. It's simply an alternative truth. And here's the truth about that. There are no alternative truths. There is the truth or there is a lie. There's only two categories. It's either truth or a lie. It's not the truth, your truth, our truth, their truth, my truth. It's the truth or a lie. That's the simple categorization that there is. And you know, they tell us today that it's not nice to call people out about their truth. It's not politically correct. It's not socially correct. It's not it's not socially acceptable to challenge someone's personal truth about life. But if anyone in this room has ever been a parent, if you've ever been a parent, if you are a parent, you know that most of your parenting life is all about calling truth out in your children. Calling truth out in your children so that your children understand what truth is. And as a parent, what you seek to do is bring clarity and bring wisdom and bring understanding and to make sure all the other big voices that are around them. You know, there's lots of big voices that want to guide the hearts of our children and our young people and our young adults. And as parents, we should be very concerned about that because we are given a sense of governance over that to help them grow and develop to be responsible human beings in society rather than allowing what I would consider sometimes irresponsible voices that want to speak their truth into our children. We need to watch that. We need to guard that. We need to construct a safe zone for the development of the young minds that we are given responsibility over. So I'm talking about this because our world is very confused. You didn't need to come to church to have me tell you that today. Just turn on the TV and watch the news. And you'll just sit there and you'll shake your head about how confusing our world has become for us to live in, for us to navigate what truth actually is. And so our kids, our young people, our young adults are constantly exposed to this confusion. And so today, what I want to do is I want to talk the truth about you. I want to talk to you about the truth about you. Psalm 139, verse 13, the psalmist unpacks the truth about all of us and he says this: God, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and you knit me together in my mother's womb. What a beautiful picture of God constructing us, putting us together in our mother's womb. It says, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. You have people telling you you are complex? You certainly are. You are wonderfully complex, every single one of us. Your workmanship, God, is marvelous. You knew that, didn't you? You marvel at that every time you look in a mirror. It's marvelous, God, you must be amazing. You are marvelous. I'm marvelously made. How well you know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. I love that thought that God watched over us as we're created. The Creator watched over us as all of that was taking place. And it says, you saw me before I was born. How do you do that? How do you see before it is? That's a powerful concept, and it's only a concept that God has. That God is able to see us before we were born. And what it intimates to us is that there's more to us than this fleshly tent. which is what the Bible says over and over again. When we lay people to rest as a believer, we believe there's more than just the flesh. The flesh is important because it's what we see. I mean, you identify me by the flesh, but there's more to me than this flesh. This flesh may be getting aged, but my spirit is renewed, like Paul says, day by day by day. I'm young on the inside. Anyone else young on the inside here today? Come on. We are. And so there's more to us than just this flesh. He said, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. God's keeping score of the days of our lives. Every day recorded in your book, the good days, the bad days, the ugly days, the successful days, the failure days, the hurt days, the teary days, the laughter days, the celebration. Every day is recorded in his book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. I love the truth that David, the psalmist, unpacks here about our relationship with our Creator, in that our unformed body was known before one of our days ever came into being. So God knew you before you were you. Before you were you, he knew you and he liked you. And even more than liked you, he loved you. He liked, he loved, he knew, he knows. That's the God that we serve. There was a video that went wild on social media. It was a couple of years ago now, by an interview that was done at Washington, the University of Washington, where a 5'9" Caucasian male interviewed and asked students to acknowledge that he was actually Chinese and that he was 6'5". So here he is standing in front of them. He looked like me. He's about my height. I'm 5'10". He was 5'9". And he said, would you acknowledge that I am Chinese and that I am 6'5"? And they kind of were stunned because they didn't know how to respond. They didn't know what to say because at that university, the students are conditioned to allow everybody to have their truth. And so as a 5'9" Caucasian male, if you're claiming to be a 6'5" Asian male, that's cool. Good for you. That was the line right through the video, if you've seen the video. And then he said, well, how about if I'm a 6'5" Chinese female and standing in front of them? And once again, they balked. But they didn't bite. They weren't game to challenge a truth which was obviously a lie. And that's the conditioning that is kind of taking place in some aspects of society. And we may laugh about it and think there's not much to it. But I can tell you right now, if you are a parent of a child right now, this is going to be one of the major issues you're confronted with in the raising of this generation that are currently young in terms of their understanding and development of who they are. It should be very concerning for everybody in the room, grandparents also. It should be very concerning for all of us. So it's very real, it's very confusing, and it's very concerning. It's based on the idea you can self-identify, you can self-determine whatever you want to be, never mind the facts. No one's going to challenge you in terms of what your truth is. Because if people do challenge, this is what we're being taught right now across the world with what's happening right now through this pandemic. If people challenge your truth, it quickly escalates and gets into a combative zone. A combative zone. And it's like we've lost our ability to intelligently sit down and have conversations and rationalize and process and take on board other perspectives without having an argument. It's like some people just shut down. You know, like there were three subjects. I watched Brian Houston this morning before I came into church today. Brian said there's three subjects that we grew up in his generation that we could never talk about in terms of being social with other people. And anyone my age, my generation, you know what those three subjects are. They are sex, they are money, and it is politics. And we don't talk about those three things, because it quickly gets into a combative zone with people. And so these are very concerning things that are happening in our world today. Now, if you're wondering, do intelligent people, I mean, who's intelligent today? Yeah, we all are. Not just you, Kirstine. We're all intelligent. Everybody put your hand up. Yes, Kirstine just shot a hand up. She's the only one in the room. We're all A students today. We're all intelligent, smart people. You may be wondering, how do intelligent people adopt this irrational ideology? Well, it's adopted because it's indoctrinated. That's how things are adopted. We are indoctrinated with little t truths. And it is presented and continues to be presented by some people. Everyone say some people. Because what I'm going to say right now is going to offend some people. But some people use these processes to indoctrinate particularly our young minds and our young adults who are at universities. So it happens with a sprinkling of people that are in our education system in terms of school, high school and universities. Now, we send our young people to universities thinking that all the smart people are there and that they should listen, they should learn, they should believe and behave and do what the professors tell them to do. Unfortunately, not all the professors, some of them are nutty professors, not all of the professors are actually educators. Some of them are actually indoctrinators. A lot of them are educators, but a lot of them are also indoctrinators. They are there indoctrinating our young minds rather than educating them, because it's an intentional strategy of the enemy to remove faith, to remove God, to remove any allegiance and understanding to that, to remove creation and this whole concept of Psalm 139 from the hearts and the minds of our young adults as they grow up. And it's working. It's working. I think it's the statistic is something like 25% of our 24-year-olds, once they've gone through university, will lose their faith and never go back to church. Wow. When they've gone through university. One in four. One in four will hold to the truth. Turn to your neighbor and say, hold to the truth. One in four will hold to the truth. Now, it's actually healthy for us to be put in environments where our truth is challenged, where our truth is having other truths that are exposed to it. But what is really important when you're in that environment is to be able to hold to the truth. So you're not tossed here and there like it talks about in Ephesians. Now, please understand, I greatly respect teachers and educators. It's a noble calling and it's a gift and it's a thing that God has placed in the hearts of intelligent people to do. But we're there to educate, not indoctrinate. Yeah. Educate, not indoctrinate. So cheer on our educators, but call out the indoctrinators. Cheer on educators, but call out the indoctrinators. Now, the difference, if you go to differencebetween.net, you can go there on the web, differencebetween.net, the difference between education and indoctrination is this. Education involves the seeking of facts and learning what is truth and what is not. That's what education is defined as, facts, learning what is truth and what is not, as opposed to indoctrination, which is aimed at influencing people to believe in facts without being able to back up these new formed facts with anything but opinion. My truth. My truth. My truth is a new form of indoctrination that is taking place. You know, in the past, we used to be, and we should have been, very concerned about people not getting an education because there was a stage in church world particularly, we didn't promote people going to university, and we should go to university, and we should get degrees, and we should go on and be highly intelligent and educated in terms of people. But we should also be watchful and mindful of what's happening in that space so we can speak faith into that space for our young people. If you're a parent in the room today, you need to be aware of what your young kids are learning in school today. You need to take an active interest of what they teach them about their sexuality, of what they teach them about Halloween, of what they teach them about all these current issues that are in our world, because there's teachings out there that are teaching them about non-binary binary sexuality and gender, and that you can be whatever you want to be in terms of your selection. You get to select, you get to self-determine. It's not predetermined, to self-determine what you will be in this life. And some of them are pretending to be pets and furries. And if you don't know what that is, look it up on the internet. And you will get really concerned as a parent in terms of all those activities that are taking place in our society today. Don't surrender the education of your children to those that want to indoctrinate. Yeah. Surrender it to educators, not indoctrinators. Well, I thought that was good. Truth. Truth is, no need to clap, just throw money. Truth is conformity to facts or actuality. Conformity to facts or actuality. You don't need me to tell you, but our world is going through a really hard time when it comes to truth nowadays. We really are. Truth is getting a challenging time right now because it's rapidly being redefined. It's become so fluid. So truth has become so personal. Truth has become even so contradictory and ultimately confusing because the goalposts are being moved all the time. What I thought was truth yesterday is no longer truth today. And that just confuses my mind because my mind was designed to operate and function within the boundaries of truth, of God's truth. And if you don't believe me, go back to the book of Genesis where Adam and Eve were created and Adam sinned and God came looking for him in the garden and he hid from God. And God said, "Why did you hide?" He said, "I hid because I was naked." And God said, "Who told you you were naked?" Because apparently they didn't know they were naked until they sinned. And then their eyes were open and they became aware of their nakedness, and so they hid from the presence of God. And God said, "Who told you that?" And I think we all need to challenge some of the things that we see changing in terms of truth and think, who's telling us that? Who's telling us that this is the newfound truth? Where are the facts behind that? You see, when it comes to truth, there is a custodian of truth. And it's not me, and it's not you, it's God. God's a custodian of truth. Many want to become custodians of truth, and they become it by customizing it. Our social influencers, they customize truth, and they present it, they bombard our young people with customized truth. As opposed to a custodian, the custodian of truth, being God himself, is responsible for all truth. And God has created the universe to function on his truth. There's natural laws, there's spiritual laws that are put in place. And we talked about some of the natural laws last week, like gravity. Like, I can think I can fly, like I can sing it all I like about wanting to fly. I believe I can. But I can't fly unless I get in a plane. Because when you get in a plane, you're in something that has discovered a truth that works with the other truth of gravity, which is the truth of upward lift and motion, which learns to cooperate with gravity so that a plane can fly through the air. Someone discovered that truth. They didn't just design it, they discovered the truth of that already that's put in place for us as human beings. So I can think I can fly, I could jump off this stage today. But if I jump off this stage, I'm only going one direction. And it's not good. It's not good. It's down. It's down. And down is where we go when we deny the truth and try and defy the truth and live beyond the truth or outside of the truth. We need to learn to handle the truth and live with the truth and align ourselves with the truth. Because the truth is, just because you believe something to be true doesn't make it true. That's right. Have you ever believed a lie that sounded like a truth? You've somehow been presented with something that looks good and it sounds like truth, but it ultimately didn't turn out to be truth. You see, truth is not about feelings. Truth at the end of the day really doesn't care about feelings. Truth is not about feelings. It's not about experience, and it's not about opinions. And not that any of those things are bad, but they are not truth. See, some people in the room today think the room is cold. All the coldies, put your hand up if you think the room is cold. Let me do a little senior pastor survey here right now. Yeah, about 25 people in the room somewhere there think the room is cold. How many think the room is hot? Some of you are thinking, yeah, it's hot wherever I go. There's a few that think it's hot. How many think it's just right? See, the majority think it's just right. The truth is, none of you are actually right. The truth is, the thermostat tells the truth. The thermostat is the only one I can rely on. Because you might just be one of those coldies that are cold everywhere, that always feel the cold, as opposed to, like, I'm a person that always feels the heat. And so I feel the hotness. Look, you knew I was going there, Lordy. I feel the hotness, and some feel the coldness, and some are just saying it's just right. But the only thing in the room that is truth about what the condition actually is the thermostat down the back, because the thermostat does not lie. Now, you feeling cold, that's okay. We have the feelings, we have the emotions, we have our experiences, our story in life. No one's telling you to deny your story and what happened to you, or to deny your feelings and the pain that you felt in the circumstance, or to deny your opinion. But there's a truth that feelings, opinions and experiences all bow to, and it's called the truth. You see, the truth is, there is no such thing as your truth about you. There's no such thing as your truth about you. There's only the truth about you, or a lie about you. That's all there is. There's only the truth about you, or the lie about you. You see, there are lies and labels that are told about all of us. They are promoted to us, and they are promoted as the truth about us. There are people in the room today, you've been told the lie, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not educated enough. You don't know enough. You don't have enough. You don't look right. You don't sound right. In other words, you're inadequate. And there are some people in the room today, you've been told those mean things. And further to being told it, you've engaged with it. You've embraced it. You've lived out of that place of thinking, I'm not good enough. I don't look right. I don't sound right. I don't live in the right suburb. I didn't have the right parents. I didn't have the right family. I don't have enough social standing around me. I come from the wrong group. I come from the wrong tribe. And we carry these labels, and we carry these lies about us, and they get into our head, and they get into our heart, and it results in us not living the way we should according to the truth that God has about us, that we're beautifully and masterfully made. I mean, God has an amazing sense of humor, and you know that when you look around this room, in terms of the different characters that he's created and the amazing personalities that we all have, and just the way he's packaged us and designed us. But for some of us, we're so insecure in our persona, our personality, our awareness of self, and we live from a very insecure base because we've embraced lies, we've embraced labels, we've embraced hurt, we've embraced tragedies, we've embraced brokenness and those experiences that happened in life, and we've allowed them to label and define who we are and how we function and how we relate, and it causes a breakdown and meltdown in our socialization and our social actuation and our relationships and in our families and in our church life and in our jobs and our careers and our businesses. And people are always leaving because of brokenness. It becomes a barrier, becomes a hindrance, and people can't get close. The walls are up. You force people to isolate. You want them around you. You want them with you. You want that partner. You want that lifelong friend to journey with you, but they can't get near you because you push them away because of the lies and the labels that you have allowed your heart and your mind to embrace. I want to break that today with truth. I want God's truth to break that in us today because it causes confusion for you and the people around your world. It causes indecision. It causes discouragement and anger, hopelessness, anxiety, depression, a loss of purpose, and ultimately a sense of lostness. And there are so many people in our world living with those attributes. Many living out of a lie or label about themselves that simply is not true.
that causes them to be confused, sound confused, and live confused, living a life based on that script, steering their life based on that script. This is what the Bible says about God, and I know it says this in relationship to the expression of gifts within the church and gifts needing to work in harmony and in order with each other. It's in 1 Corinthians 13, but the principle is true across the board. And it's 1 Corinthians 14:33. It says, God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. Another version says, God is not a God of disorder, but he is a God of order. And there's a peace and an order that God brings to us when we align with truth. When you align with truth, there's a peace. See, when I drive down the freeway, I don't need to fear the police because I have a peace, because I'm not speeding. You only need to fear the police if you're speeding down the freeway, and you should be afraid. Be very afraid. See, when you're outside of the lines, there's a confusion and there's a lack of peace. You know, God is not an organizer or author of confusion or disorder. He's a God that organizes peace. And I have this real sense that God wants to reinstate peace in our world. It's like a beauty pageant. What do you want? World peace. World peace. What do you want? World peace. I just want the peace of God. And we very much need that and want that in our world right now with what this pandemic has done to our world. It went crazy. I mean, our world was reasonably okay up until that point in lots of areas. And it's like someone threw a bomb in the middle of the world and it just blew up everybody. And everybody got crazy. I mean, have you seen anyone around your world just go crazy? I mean, like literally just become a totally new person. Literally. And they become really combative with you, argumentative, dislocated. People have relocated all kinds of spaces in life in this moment that's happened across our world and been disrupted by something that probably has no foundation of truth in it anyway. And it's not godly. It's actually evil. For God is the God not of confusion, but a God of order. You see, the more we learn about what God says about us, how God sees us, and that his truth is the truth that sets us free, that our days were numbered in advance, like the psalmist said, and understand that we're not an accident. You're not an accident or a surprise to God when you were born. You may have been a surprise and an accident to others, but you are not an accident. You are not a surprise to God at all. And what happens is when we're born, the enemy spends really the rest of our lives trying to attack this package that we are as a human being to convince us of the lies that he presents to us. This is what Jesus said about the enemy and lies. He says, Satan is the father of all lies. He is the source. He is that one that creates all lies. So anything that is not the truth has its roots in him. Anything that is not the truth has its roots in him. It comes from a dark place. It comes from an evil place. And the enemy, we're told he comes to steal. He comes to kill. He comes to destroy. So he's here to take you out. He's here to take out our young people and our young adults to get their hearts and their minds out of an anchor of truth and to bring it into a place of my truth, our truth, their truth, and I can be an option person, and I can choose whatever option I like because I have the ability to self-determine. Can I just put this out there? I think of a lot of our design in life is actually predetermined. Predetermined by the one that saw us before we were even born. You see, maturing as a believer involves desiring God's truth over our truth, because there's a sense that we all kind of have our truth. And that's why God's truth is so obnoxious to us sometimes. It's so challenging. It's so difficult for us as we're confronted with God's truth, because we instantly think, well, I don't know whether I believe that. I'm just not sure I embrace and engage with that. And what we're doing when we say that is I know better than God. And that's dangerous territory for us to get into. You see, God's truth is a choice we make over our feelings. Anyone ever had a day where you just don't feel it? You're just not feeling like it. We all have that. And on those days, you've got to apply God's truth over what you're feeling.
truth is saying to you. God's truth over our experiences. God's truth over our opinions. God's truth over our past or even our present. God's truth over our limitations and over our barriers. God's truth over our lack and over our smallness. God's truth not designing our own truth. We choose God's truth. We don't design our own truth. Now, to desire God's truth is to pursue his truth, to hold to it. And this is what Jesus said. Those who know me and know the truth, they hold the truth. They hold to the truth. And there's a maturity in holding to the truth. There's a maturity in it. There's a maturity that comes in walking with God and holding and being anchored to the truth of who he is and his thoughts for you and his word. What that maturity does is it frees us from presumptions or bias or our limited experience or our limited understanding. And it frees us from the shackles of self-reliance where we put our complete trust in God. And this is the goal of the journey of maturity, to put your complete trust in God, to anchor your complete trust in God. That's what maturing as a believer looks like. We started with this verse on the first week, Ephesians 4, where it talks about us growing up in Christ, in our faith walk, and God giving gifts to the church, our pastors and evangelists and prophets and apostles and teachers to develop us so we all do God's work. He says this, then when we come to maturity, we'll no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching, new ideology, new philosophy. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. That's the thing about lies. They're sugar-coated and they look like the truth. They sound like the truth, but they just are not the truth. Instead, Paul says we will speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is ahead of his body, his church. Church, can we not be infants? Can we not be children? Unless you are a child. Let's be big people who are growing up in all things. Turn to your neighbor and just say, grow up in all things. Grow up in all things. In every area of life, grow up. Grow up in all things. Rather than being blown here and there by every new teaching that comes along, indoctrinated by new ideologies and philosophies, tricked by lies that sound like the truth, let's speak the truth in love and grow up in all things. You know, the enemy, he tries so hard to keep us confused about who we are and our fit and function in life. Because when we become confident of that, when you become certain of who you are and you know who you are, you know what you're called to do, when we start living from that foundation of who God says we are, we start to overcome in life. We start to overcome in the things of life. It doesn't mean you have a perfect life. It means when you have your battles and you have your moments, you can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Because you know God's on your side and your life takes on a new clarity. It takes on a new confidence. It takes on a sense of peace because you come into alignment with the truth and you handle the truth. You handle the truth and you start to host the truth. And so you can rise up above what's being said about you or what's being said to you. And there are people in the room today, you need to rise up above what's being said about you and what's being said over you and what's being said to you. Rise up above that. Some need to get empowered to move on from hurts and to move on from mess-ups and mishaps. And it's really only God's truth that sets us free to be all that God has called us to be. So let go of the labels. Would you stand to your feet for me? Let go of the labels today. Let go of the labels and the lies that have been placed upon you, that you've engaged with, that you've embraced, and start to proclaim God's truth over who you are and see yourself as God sees you and as God says that you are. And this is for all of us. All of us are navigating lies and labels. Every person here, myself included, we're all navigating the lies and the labels that have been presented to us and continue to be presented to us. As long as you're in this flesh, you're going to have to deal with this. And so we keep believing the truth that God has about us. So here in closing is the truth about you in point form. Number one, you're not a mistake. You are not a mistake. Nobody in this room today, nobody online, we're not mistakes. We are actually a divine design original. Talking about labels, you're a designer label. You're a designer label. You should wear a big G on you. A big G on you. That's the label. You're the G label. The God label. The Bible actually says you're a masterpiece. Do you know that? You are a masterpiece. You're a Picasso. A Van Gogh. Whatever you say his name. You're one of the wonders of the world. See, that's true. The world's wondering. We're a divine design. Original. You're an image bearer of God. So you can have a confidence in God today. You can be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Like Paul says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. If God's in it and God's in me and God's for it, then I can do it. I can be it. Don't have to just say it. Saying it's not pretending it, it's proclaiming it. That's what it is. And I'm going to stop proclaiming it. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. It doesn't say let the strong say I'm strong. It says let the weak say I'm strong. Why do the weak need to say they're strong? Because they're weak. And they need to walk into a new reality. And so they start speaking a new truth. A new truth. I may look weak. I may sound weak. You may think I'm weak. But don't underestimate this masterpiece. Don't underestimate this thing. This is the G label right here. It's the G label. A masterpiece. Every room I walk into, I'm talking about you now. Every room you walk into, you walk in with your G label. You may look different. That's just God's humor. Your personality may be a little bit wild. That's just God's sense of humor. That's all it is. Just harness that thing. You're like a stallion that needs to be harnessed today. Harnessed by truth. Harnessed by God's truth. Not only are you a design original, God knew you and He loved you before you were born. Before you were born. There is more to you than this flesh. There's a spirit that will live forever. When it says God knew you before you were born, that's what it means. You're a spiritual being having a human journey. A spiritual being having a human journey. And then lastly, your life is full of purpose and it's full of plan. Nobody knows the purpose of a thing like the person or the thing that created the thing. And if God created you, then you're a good thing. And you are filled with purpose. And there is a plan for your life. We don't always see it. We don't always know it. We're not always aware of it. But there's a God plan. There's a God truth. And so, as we close today, I just wanted to close with that thought that, you know, my life is good enough. I am good enough. I don't have to try and be anybody else. I'm not here trying to please and be validated by other people. I feel heaven's validation today, and I feel it because of this. I feel it because of a moment when Jesus died on a cross, and literally, I was tattooed on the palms of His hands. And my name is on those palms, and it says to me, I'm loved. Come on, I'm loved today. And I just need Him. That's the truth. That's the truth today. See, the world thinks you come to church because you're weak. No, you come to church because you know you need Him. You need Him every day. You need Him every moment. Because Satan is the father of lies, but He is the father of all truth. That's our prayer today. I need You, Lord, more than yesterday.
I need You, Lord, more than words can say.
More than words can say.
I need You
more than ever before. I need You, Lord. I need You.
Come on, church. Lift up your hands. Sing it to Him. Every lie.
More than yesterday, I need You more. More than words can say, I need You more.
come into the room right now, God, I pray. Into hearts and minds that have embraced labels and lies about who they are and their value and their importance and their destiny and their journey, and set people free today, Lord, as we lean into you, acknowledging we need you as our truth.
I need you, Lord.
Come on, I need you.
What's more, the truth can handle you. It can hold you as you host God's truth. It'll hold you in life as you navigate the lies and the labels. Always learn to question. Question the little t truths that are presented to you. There's great wisdom in that. And ask yourself, who told me that about me? Because this is what God says. I'm going to allow God to be the custodian of the truth that I engage and I embrace with, because he's a good God. He only does good things, and surely his goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I want to live aware that I need him every day. Amen. 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 God bless you, church. Have an amazing day. We've got a church picnic to go to very, very quickly. If you could make your way down to the park at Riverdale Park at Meadowbrook as quickly as possible. We'd love to see you there. We've got the food. We've got the fun. Just bring your people. Let's have a great day. Bring your chair, your sunscreen, your hat, all the stuff that you need. Thank you very much for being with us today. God bless you. Amen.